for a sign, shall we? Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through this scripture and through the words that I have, and I ask that, well, if somebody needs a sign here, that it comes through this message somehow, but I pray that you would show us things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the signs that Gideon had in order to give him faith to be obedient in following the Lord and becoming a deliverer of God's people, their champion, you might say. And Gideon is given three signs. Each time he is given a sign, it moves him along in what he is to do and be as God's man in the world. And there are some principles that we can really find in the story of Gideon about how we receive the signs that God has for our lives. Now, before we look at that story, I want to take a couple of minutes to kind of reflect on the signs of God's in our lives. First, have you had any signs from God? Either major signs, which seem almost miraculous, if not downright miraculous, or the little signs and signals that come to us, and they're kind of like sparkles of light that happen in our lives. A scripture, maybe, or something somebody said, or an article in a magazine, a chance meeting, maybe a newspaper clipping or something, things of that nature, little signs that kind of sparkle when the light of God is in our lives. Some people don't seem to get any signals at all from God. Other people seem to have them happen all the time. Some people think that God doesn't give signs at all. What do you think? Do they happen? Do they happen to you? Does God give them, or are they just accidents or coincidences in our lives? How do you get them, anyway? Well, today I want to explore the signs of God's in our lives and what they mean. First, I believe that God gives people signs and signals all the time. If they are moving in obedience to Him and they're seeking to live out God's will, are you doing that? That's a good question. Are you seeking to follow God's plan for your life? God gives us signs. It's God who initiates these signs in our lives. The problem with signs, though, is you can't take them to the bank. Unless the particular sign happens to be money, I guess you could take it to the bank. Signs usually can't be taken to the bank. That is, they're only good for you. They are personal, and most of the time, they mean very little to anybody and consume the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Now, in the story of Gideon, the people of Israel have suffered from spiritual erosion, and because of their worshiping the gods of the world, they have fallen prey to the people of the world. They are suffering from the affliction of being tormented by the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord has appeared to Gideon right in his own backyard, so to speak, and told him that he is a mighty warrior, that he's going to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. Well, Gideon listens to this agenda for his life as God tells him who he is and what he's going to do, and finally says, "Give me a sign." Gideon isn't sure who he's talking to at all. I'm sure that this angel looked just like you or me. We aren't given any indication that he appeared more than a man. So Gideon hears this call on his life to be God's champion, and he says, "Give me a sign." Well, the angel Lord gives him a sign. When Gideon puts food in front of him, he touches the food with his staff, and the food goes up in a ball of fire, and the angel of the Lord vanishes out of there. And Gideon has his sign. Gideon thinks he's going to die on the spot. But a voice speaks out of the air and says, "You're not going to die, Gideon. Don't worry." Gideon gets his sign, and he gets his identity, and he gets his purpose right there. The angel tells him that he is a mighty warrior, that he will save his people, that God will go with him in this purpose. That same night, it says, God tells Gideon to clean up his own house. He tells him to tear down the altars and the idols to Baal and Asherah and make a sacrifice of a bull from his household and set it up on an altar to Almighty God. Now, it is my opinion that the reason Gideon has enough faith and enough strength to clean up his own household is because God has given him a sign of his presence. Otherwise, I don't think Gideon would have believed the angel of the Lord. I think there's a principle here for you and me as well. Think about your life. I notice here that it is God who makes the first move. God appears to Gideon. He tells him who he is in God's army, and it gives him a purpose for his life. And I think the same thing happens to us. When you become a follower of Jesus, wasn't there some kind of expression of God's presence at that moment? Now, it could have been a worship service. It might have been on one of these banquet weekends. It might have been a sunrise or a prayer time. Those signs help us move along in our faith journey. Sometimes it's that initial leap of faith. Sometimes it is some other kind of act of faith in importance in terms of the areas of your life. Let me give you an example. True story. When I was a pastor down in Kentucky, the church was growing in terms of numbers. We were living in a parsonage right next to the house. They kicked us out of the parsonage because they needed the space to hold Sunday school classes because we were growing. So they gave us a housing allowance. Well, Bernard and I went house shopping. Actually, she went house shopping, pretty much. And she's here, so she can either confirm this or not. Anyway, she found the house that she really liked. Now, I went to see the house, and it was okay. I didn't have any problems with the house, but it was the yard that it was bothering me so much. I mean, it was like the steps of Russia, man. All I could think about is cutting the grass here is going to be a god-awful chore. So I didn't want to go to the, I didn't want the house. We went around and around and around about it, and I got mad. And I threw my son John into the car seat. He was 2 at the time. And I said, okay, I'm going to go drive around. And I got in that, and I was driving around. I said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. We're supposed to get this house. I want you to put a white dog in the center of that yard when I go drive by. True story. I mean, I was irate. I drive up the street with this house, and right in the front yard is a white dog sitting there. I was sold on the deal, but I still didn't like it. So I went back and I told him, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give them this price for the house, and if they take it, we'll buy it. And I lowballed the thing, and they took the price. True story. Now, that white dog, I mean, you know, you can't take it to the bank or anything. But it happened. Well, in Gideon's life, this first sign was enough to help him clean up his own house, his own life, you might say. But it wasn't enough to move him along in being the leader of God's people. He was following in obedience, but he began to get scared, and he was insecure in his position as God's champion. What happens is that after Gideon cleans up his own household and his own neighborhood, the Midianites come storming in against the people of Israel. Well, the people of Israel gather people from some of the different clans of Israel, and they get together an army of 32,000 men. And the leadership of this army falls on Gideon. But he has already, because he's already made a name for himself by his earlier act of faith. He asks for a sign. Actually, it's 2 signs. He asks that this fleece would have dew on it and the ground around it wouldn't in the morning. Well, it happens. But he's just not quite sure about the sign. It could just be a freak of nature. So he asks that the sign would appear reversed. Dew would be on the ground and not on the fleece. He gets his sign. Now, Gideon gets a lot of bad press for being lacking in faith and asking for this sign, but I don't think it's warranted, actually. First off, I think he needed a sign. I mean, he was thrust into something he wasn't sure he was capable of handling. He wasn't sure that this was the way he was going to do what God had told him what he was going to do. He hadn't read his script. He hadn't read the Bible. You haven't read your script, have you? You don't know what's going to come tomorrow or anything like that. If you look at other people in the Bible, God gives them signs as well. He gave Moses signs to let him know his identity and purpose in the world. He gave signs to the people of Israel all the time, most of the time. I also think that God is not reluctant to give us signs. He gives signs to help us walk in obedience. Now, Gideon asked for a sign here, and sometimes when you ask for a sign, you need to recognize there's a deficiency in us. If we get the sign, we ask for another one to confirm the first sign. When I seek for a sign from God, there's something about me that, well, I'm not sure I trust the sign. Maybe you can identify with this, okay? When I seek for a sign, I get it. It never quite gets there. Well, Gideon needs a double sign here. And whether it's because of his insecurity or his fear of the situation, when it's all over, he walks in obedience. The key to receiving signs from God is obedience to follow where God leads. This sign of the fleece is enough to move Gideon along to be obedient, to do the next thing, the next act of faith on Gideon's part. God, if you read the story, we're going to be working through it. God reduces Gideon's army from 32,000 men against 115,000 Midianites to a paltry 300 men. Now, if you're going to follow God, you're going to experience a walk in faith. And it can get pretty scary at times. God will sometimes reduce your human strength to such a point that you have to rely completely on God. Well, Gideon gets signs, but he also walks in obedience. The signs have to be accompanied by acts of faith. The signs are for direction and strength, but you can't take them to the bank. You know, think about it. Gideon cannot go out and say to his officers and everything, well, I know that God is with me because there was no dew on my fleece last night. These guys go, you're right. He would be laughed right out of the army. The sign was for him. Nobody else would understand. The army was just looking for a leader. They don't care how that leadership is developed. When it comes to the signs in your life, you can tell other people about them, but some will laugh at you, and others who walk in faith might appreciate them. But the fact of the matter is, they're still yours. Let me give you another one. The reason that we have the great banquet today, and we're doing it in prison today, and all that goes with it and everything, it was back in 1981. I was driving back from Nashville, Tennessee to Madisonville, Kentucky. It was July. We had just been to a Curcio weekend, which is very similar to the Great Banquet. We were down there on Saturday to kind of serve meals and stuff. And we were driving home, and I was really struggling with, well, do I get involved in this? And do I start doing this stuff? And do I really, God, do you really want me to do this stuff? And I said, I need a sign. Now, I'm just talking conversationally with Larry. And his wife and Bernard and I were in the car, and I'm just, conversation. But I'm sitting there, and I'm stewing, boy. And I said, God, am I supposed to be doing this stuff? And I said, Lord, I need a sign if I'm really supposed to be doing this stuff, because that's a real big move in faith. Lord, I need a sign. And I need a sign in the heavens. Now, I'm thinking all this while I'm carrying on a nice conversation. I can multitask. And about the time I get done saying this kind of prayer and conversation with God, Larry goes, what is that up there in the sky? And we looked, And there were streaks of color going across the sky like rainbow signs and red and all this stuff, just streaks of stuff. And I'm going, oh, my God, here's your sign. Got up the next day, Sunday, got the paper out, and right there there's confirmation that we weren't just drunk on the Spirit. It says, Northern Lights are seen as far south as Mississippi and Tennessee, and that this is very unique and almost, that's where Gideon was. Well, the Lord gives Gideon a third sign. And this time, Gideon didn't ask for it. It was given to him. I'm going to read it for you. It's Judges 7, 9 to 11 and 13 to 15. And it's in your bulletin, just follow along. This is what it says. That same night the Lord said to him, that's the same night that he told him we're going to go do this, and he got his army down to 300. That same night the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I've given it into your hand. But if you fear to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men that were in the camp. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came to the tent, and struck it so that it fell, and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has given Midian and all the host. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. Now, we don't know all the particulars about this sign, but it must have been a tremendous impact on Gideon, because he went right back to his men and they did their thing, and the rest, as they say, is history. But once again, Gideon couldn't take anything to the bank, could he? Some guy has a dream. Oh, really? Another guy interprets the dream. Oh, really? And the essence of the whole thing is that Gideon will win. Well, so what? Man, if you're not walking in faith, this could be accident, coincidence, or just so much meaningless campfire talk. And yet for Gideon, it was a sign he needed to go into action. And this is not reasonable. This is not practical. If the sign is a true sign, Gideon, if it isn't a true sign, Gideon is a dead man, and so are the 300 guys. When you say you want to be God's man or woman in this world, and God calls you to be a leader, and he will call you to submit your strength, and it really becomes weakness. God will call you to an obedient life. There really is no other way. God gives us signs as he reduces our strength to get things done on our own strength. He gets us to a place of humility where we know that we aren't capable of bringing off the victory. It is in our obedience and humility as we walk in faith with God that he begins to do things beyond our own imagination. He begins to accomplish victories that we never dreamed possible. This begins to happen to you as you submit yourself in obedience. Whatever he says, do it. I know this. Maybe this message today